A reading from the Gospel of John. Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of the ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to the eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where the people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship with the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father speaks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us," Jesus said to her. "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with him, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the Lord." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Good morning. As most of you listening can relate to, I've had 1,001 things on my mind today and for most of this week. On top of the coronavirus, I have been getting through midterms, preparing for my comprehensive exam, and moving out of my dorm, among many others. Our gospel this morning also has a 1,001 things that we can discuss and think about today. But I would like to focus on two elements that Professor of New Testament Interpretation Osvaldo Vina says brings to light in our gospel this morning. He says the story of the Samaritan woman is about overcoming exclusiveness and building community. These two themes I want us to think about in relation to our current moment with the coronavirus. Today, we hear about a story about another Samaritan, but I often do not understand what being a Samaritan now means almost 2,000 years later. But for Jesus' time, the Samaritans were the other. They were the group that Jews looked down upon for various reasons. The conversation between the Samaritan woman and Jesus we hear today in our gospel is about these two disparate groups finding common ground. Our setting of the gospel this morning is at Jacob's well, which alludes to the common lineage and ancestry the Samaritan people and the Jewish people share. But in Jesus' time, the polarization between the Samaritan and the Jew was deep and ingrained into social interactions, not unlike what we experience today. Our gospel writer today flips the polarization on its head with some irony. We know that Jesus is the living water, the one that brings salvation and hope in bad times, but our story begins with Jesus needing water. The role is reversed. He asks the person you would least expect to fulfill his needs. The Samaritan woman gives him that water. As Professor Osvaldo Vina says, thus, Jesus left us with a crucial lesson to be learned. Community can only be built when we are not afraid of overcoming old prejudices and are willing to break the social conventions that dehumanize us. The living water that Jesus promised this woman, symbolized in the water that Moses made come out of the rock in Exodus, is God's purifying water, the Holy Spirit, which can purify our hearts of old hatreds and hostilities and from us into a diverse people on earth. We live in a time now where social distancing and quarantine are becoming the norm to protect ourselves and others. This does not mean social isolation and exclusion, though. At the end of this passage, we see Jesus overcoming the exclusiveness of his ministry so far to fully include a Samaritan woman. The disparate groups are united. After the dialogue at the well, we see the Samaritan woman preach to her village about the Messiah coming. She evangelizes her fellow Samaritans to follow the path of Jesus and to spread the good news of his word. The person you would least expect shows us that Jesus' message is not just for the Jews, that it is for the whole world. It is about finding common ground to build the community of God's kingdom. As Professor of Preaching Carolina Lewis says, the Samaritan woman demonstrates what can happen when we actually engage in conversation and questions about our faith. The woman at the well shows us that faith is about dialogue, about growth and change. It is not about having all of the answers. Now you may be wondering how we can go out and spread the gospel or engage in dialogue about our faith in our current time when some of us cannot physically go out into the world, especially in a time where we do not have the answers about the very thing that isolates us. For myself, I have been trying to avoid social media's reaction to the pandemic because it usually stems to bolster anxiety than to bring hope. But among the anxiety I have found, there are two messages on social media that I want to share that I think are wonderful examples of what it means to share God's love in a time of social distancing and quarantine. Both are ways to bring hope in a dark time. Both examples show that social isolation and exclusion are not the way. To follow Christ, but building a community and overcoming exclusiveness are ways to break social convention that often dehumanize us through isolation. The first example comes far away from Concord, where we see our siblings in Christ in Italy, also in a crisis. My dear friend Livia has been struggling this past week as she watched from afar as her home and family became cloistered off. She shared stories about her concern for her family and fear how she wouldn't be able to return home after we graduated. But this week, we saw several videos of Italians singing to one another from their balconies. We saw how they took their quarantine and made the most of an isolating situation. They sang patriotic songs to share the hope of better days to come. Through small acts, they made the social distancing seem smaller. They built a community through balconies and music. They did not have to be within 6 feet of each other to break down the boundaries that excluded social interaction. They could share hope and love through a trying time with people they honestly may not have known before. The Italians got to love their neighbor in a different way. They found the opportunity to build a community to overcome exclusiveness in a way you wouldn't necessarily expect. Another example comes a little closer to home from our very own Scott Russell. 3 days ago, he went to the grocery store to get supplies to prepare for the virus. He decided that he was going to make some homemade chicken noodle soup to freeze for himself. Instead, he realized that his neighbors could benefit from a hot bowl of comfort food. Scott posted on Facebook to let others know that he had soup to share for those who were sick or shut in and would deliver it to them. Scott didn't reinvent the wheel to spread God's love and kindness. He found new ways within our current boundaries to bring the love of Jesus Christ to his neighbors. Engaging with our neighbor and with our faith does not always have to happen within 6 feet of each other. It can happen through the blessing of technology. It happens the same way that I am talking to you through multiple different devices in a variety of places. It is about finding the opportunity to overcome the old prejudices that will want to bring us apart and find ways to break social convention of fully isolating ourselves off from the world. It is showing that faith is for the whole world and not just for a select group of people. It is about showing that we can all be a Samaritan woman and show God's love in new ways. We, as followers of Christ, can be living water, that through him all things are possible. Our passage from Romans this morning reminds us of that, because it says, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. We are the living water. We have the ability to build community with our neighbors and overcome exclusiveness even within a time of social distancing and quarantine. Professor of New Testament Sherry Brown says, Jesus encounters people and challenges them to move beyond comfort and religious preconceptions into a new relationship with God the Father through openness to the Son. Each encounter also propels the plot as Jesus reveals himself in audiences, ventures toward his inevitable arrest, passion, and glorification. In this time of Lent, we are meant to be waiting and preparing for the coming of Christ again. We are looking forward to Easter, a time of jubilation and glee, and reminds us that Jesus is our Savior. This Lent is just a little bit more complicated with the coronavirus, but there will be hope. There will be joy once again. As our Romans passage says, hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, but those who drink of the water that I will give will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. Stay hydrated, both in body and spirit, so that you too can become the living water that gushes upon their neighbors to share the love of Jesus Christ, to respect the dignity of every human being, to humanize the dehumanized, to bring hope to a dark time, to love through isolation. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would hearken to hear his voice. Amen.